fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
The defense has rested, just as our legal expert, Jeff Doughty, predicted it would. Now let's hope he can predict the outcome of this case. This is your Zimmerman trial program, the American Adversaries Drive Time on News Talk 660 WORL. Lair Adams with you as the world gets ready for closing arguments. Just as soon as we find out if a computer-animated reenactment of the event will be allowed into evidence. Now, as a special treat for you folks tonight, my co-host will be in the studio as a computer-animated Christopher Hart!
No, I'm going to be the live and in-person kind, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our show.
He's got those bright dots all over him, and he's wearing spandex.
Don't do that to me. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time version. Once again, we are here for you till 6 o'clock, and you can call and be a part of our show. The phone number is 407-774-8255, and I expect you might want to keep that very handy, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. We're going to start off our show tonight with Jeff Doughty here in just a moment to find out about, has the defense really rested? I was so shocked when I heard that, but we'll find out from Jeff Doughty momentarily. I see we already have a caller coming in on the lines about the Zimmerman case. If you would like to call about that case, 407-774-8255 is the number. Now, after we finish up with Jeff Doughty today and that perplexing case, we are going to study something that has perplexed men for ever since there have been men.
We are going to
study something that has, you know, it would make all the Greek paradoxes look like child's play. We are going to study. Actually, we are going to try to decode women, and we have an expert here with us tonight to help us do that. Laura Janae, welcome to the show tonight, Laura Janae.
Hi, Chris. Thank you so much for having me and Lars. I'm very excited about this.
Oh, no. We should be thanking you because we expect to go home tonight a whole lot wiser than when we came in tonight.
Yeah, we need this.
Possibly. You will.
That's right. And once again, folks, Laura Janae will be joining us after we talk here with Jeff Doughty. So let's go to Jeff Doughty now and find out. Jeff Doughty, who's a prominent criminal defense attorney here in Central Florida, you've handled many high-profile cases. Did Mark O'Meara really call his last witness today?
He represented to the court. He's planning on wrapping up tomorrow.
Yeah, but we're wrapping up. I mean, I didn't catch all the testimony today, but did the evidence about Trayvon's toxicology report come in? And isn't the animation video yet to be decided?
At this moment, as we speak, they're doing what used to be called a Fry hearing. Now it's a Daubert hearing. But nevertheless, they're doing a hearing now to see if that video is going to be coming in. The toxicology issue has not been addressed today, and they have the door open if they want to present testimony. They did not do it today.
Have you spoken with any of your friends, so to speak, and is Mark O'Meara planned to try to use that toxicology report, or is at this point that he figures he doesn't need it?
Nobody has expressed it. Everybody was kind of surprised. I didn't get to talk to a great deal of many people because this just happened. We don't know if it's going to be addressed tomorrow, so I just don't know. I mean, they fought hard to get it in, so you would think they would want to bring it in.
That's what I was thinking, too. But you say they're still in court actually arguing about the video right now.
They are in court as we speak.
Okay.
Jury's gone for the day.
Right.
Fantastic. Now, listen, you, over the past few days, you've been telling us you're watching the jury. What was their reaction today when it looked like things really were going to start wrapping up?
I think they're ready. I mean, they are ready. Their notebooks, note-taking, their little legal pads are probably full, and they are ready. I mean, and I think Mark and Don West must be sensing that because they've been moving it along rather quickly now.
As a matter of fact, you talked on our show Sunday night how you sensed that Friday when they, yes. they said at the end of Friday afternoon, they said they wanted to keep going. I mean,
and then Monday, too.
Yeah.
Monday, yesterday morning, too. And today they got off to a late start, and I don't think they were very happy about that. I mean, they're moving along now. I think Don and Mark they want to move this thing along. They're saying they're going to rest tomorrow, and they announced that, and the jury was present when they announced that.
Okay, so they better not squash those expectations. Jeff, I have a couple more questions for you, and I know Lair has two, but we have Brad, who's been holding since the show started.
Sure.
So let's go to Brad and get his comments and or question for Jeff Dowdy. Thanks for calling this afternoon, Brad.
Oh, yes. Thanks, guys. Jeff, two things. Obviously, the father, we've been hearing all the last 2 weeks that the inconsistencies and the left attacking George Zimmerman, and now you're hearing crickets when the father gave the classic textbook example of doing everything but answering Mark Ramirez straightly, and either he was lying to police, and he was caught looking down, talking about the wheels on his chair. And it was so difficult to watch because you're seeing a person perjuring himself. But leave that aside, the thing that makes me angry is that this jury, we've seen really good concrete evidence, but are they going to be going the way of feelings of a grieving mother, or are they going to go by fact? And by fact, I mean not just that he was in fear of his life. That gets thrown out the window. It doesn't have to be proven to that. In the state of Florida, self-defense from felony serious bodily injury. And on that ground, it is a slam dunk. So that's what I'm worried about, that this jury of six women are going to be overcome by, either the grieving mother, or are they going to go by the facts? That's
all right,
what I wanted to know.
Okay, Jeff Dowdy, I want you to respond to that, and I want you to use your experience, too, because you've been through this over 100 times yourself. Do you ever feel really confident that you've won a case once it goes to the jury?
You never overestimate the jury. It's never a slam dunk, and I don't think anybody at this point is thinking it's a slam dunk. There'll be jury instructions. If the jury is instructed not to have any sympathy, put that aside. If you do, put it aside how you feel about the attorneys. You're supposed to follow the law. I mean, I think if you look at all the evidence and follow the self-defense law, I think there's a good possibility they win. But I think you saw a little bit of evidence today from the city manager, Norton Bonaparte, that politics were definitely involved. I'll talk about his testimony in a little bit, but the jury's supposed to set that aside. And it certainly is not a slam dunk, but if they follow the law, they can put all the outside influences, which we've discussed a lot, I think Mr. Zimmerman's in a good position, but who knows?
All I can caution Brad and all of us who are out here, sitting on pins and needles, as my dad used to say, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's assume that they're going to do the right thing here until they prove us wrong.
I was just going to say, speaking of which, Jeff, I hate to put you on the hot seat.
Sure.
But, buddy, if you had to give a prediction, what do you think?
I'm feeling the pressure outside. I see it. I can tell you that I heard from a couple of students who are friends of mine at Seminole College.
Mm-hmm.
There was people yesterday at the campus trying to recruit volunteers for Trayvon Martin. What are they recruiting them for? I think it's for a protest outside. I don't know, but I heard that yesterday, and it kind of concerns me. As I said Sunday night, these cameras are there, and it's building up. So I just got to hope the jury can set everything aside and rule on the facts, and we'll see.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to give you my prediction. I think that they're going to find Zimmerman guilty on the two lesser manslaughter charges, the one misdemeanor and then the least of the felony charges. After that, just for some reason, something in the back of my mind says that's their little
their little gift they throw out to the masses. I don't know.
All right. Well, let's back up just a little bit, Jeff, and talk about today's witnesses. I think that there were a couple that were probably, well, actually, there weren't very many witnesses today, but there was the forensic expert that the defense brought on, and I thought he was quite effective. What did you think, and what did it look like in the courtroom there?
Dr. DeMaio, I mean, he was an excellent witness. I think he was one of the most honest and forthright witnesses. He explained it to everybody. He wasn't arrogant like Dr. Ba was, the other medical examiner. He was very forthright. He was very understandable. He held up on a cross-examination, and I gave him 5 stars. I gave him a 5. I mean, he did excellent. He wasn't, you know, trying to conjure up any type of testimony. He just said it the way it was. So I think he did a great job, and there was 2 other witnesses after them that I'd like to talk about a little bit.
Yeah, and please, I know that the city manager is one, and the other witness, who did you have in mind to talk about?
I had Norton Bonaparte, the city manager, and yeah. This goes back to what Lair said. The jury was really made aware. I mean, they almost had to drag this guy in. You talk about trying to pull teeth. He was a city manager at the time, still is, and he testified grudgingly. I mean, you knew he didn't want to be up there, that he's the one who ordered law enforcement out of the room. He's the one who had the family members collectively listen to the tape with Benjamin Crump, with Mayor Triplett, and himself. And he refused to answer questions about whether or not he remembered who played the tape. He just refused to answer. But what you got a sense of is that the jurors know now more than ever there's a public outcry about it. And there's your outside influence that, Lair, you're alluding to, and it really concerns me.
Well, then you think maybe perhaps the defense shouldn't have done that?
Well, I think they wanted to bring it. They're just hammering on this 911, and they are really, they obviously are really concerned about it, but more than ever now, the jury is acutely aware that there was outside political influences that have gotten this case to the courtroom.
And you said there was one other witness you wanted to mention.
Well, that was Eloise Dillegard. She was
the last witness of the day.
The last witness, a black female. I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but her testimony was straightforward and simple. She was a friend of Fort Zimmerman. She said he was a friendly neighborhood. She confirmed also the 9/11. That's all she added. And if you want to rest on that, I don't think it was orchestrated for a black female to testify. I just think she had to testify by Skype because she was bedridden. You could tell that by looking at her. But that's the way the day finished up.
Okay. All right. Before we're the last point, let's go to Carl Jackson, who has called in, and he has a question for you, Jeff. So, Carl Jackson, how are you doing this afternoon? Your question for Jeff.
Hey, guys, and hey, Jeff. Good to talk to you. Listen, I got a question, and then I have 2 concerns I'd like for you to address, Jeff. The first thing is, do you think this is the question, and then I'll state the 2 concerns, and then I'll get off and listen. The question is, do you think the toxicology report will come up in the closing arguments? Will the defense bring that up in the closing arguments for effect, maybe to surprise
the
jury?
Okay, and your 2 points.
The two concerns I have is the city manager, why didn't the defense ask him, has he given that preferential treatment to other victims that may have been murdered? And I'm concerned that the defense missed out on the MMA guy, because he could have totally alleviated George Zimmerman's guilt based on this technique called shrimping, which would prove that George Zimmerman could do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu style shrimping and move Trayvon's hands off of his mouth to scream very easily. So I'm concerned he missed that.
Okay, that might be a little technical, but Jeff, please, go ahead.
As far as the toxicology, the jury haven't heard that yet. I mean, so you wouldn't argue it on closing unless the jurors heard about it. So unless they're going to briefly address it tomorrow, I don't see them arguing about it, because the jury's going to look bewildered because we didn't hear anything about this. You have to remember that was done outside the presence of the jury when she ruled that it could come in. So they don't know that yet. So if they put it in tomorrow, certainly they'll argue about it. As far as the city manager, Carl, I don't know if you've seen him testify, but my gosh, he was a hostile witness. And I think that the point was just to get him there, that politics were involved for whatever reason he wanted to do it. As far as the MMA is concerned, they brought in Mr. Pollack to testify yesterday, and he addressed certain issues. I don't recall if they, you know, did that particular style that you're talking about. But
yes, he did. And he also mentioned that was a natural move, that isn't necessarily a taught move.
Right. And I don't think anyone could doubt what Dr. DeMaio said today about the shooting, that someone was leaning over him, and they brought in a great thing when they brought in the iced tea can, showing that anybody even further bring the shirt forward. And I thought he was absolutely convincing them. I think we all know and have to agree, without a dispute, that Trayvon Martin was on top.
So defense did a pretty effective job in corroborating what they could of George's story.
Yes, so I'm still concerned, like with Lara, is there's an outside presence and there might be a compromise there.
Okay. Typically speaking, how long will the closing arguments actually last for each side? An hour, 2 hours, 3 hours?
They should. You don't want to overkill. You don't want to lose. There's always a cliche that less is more. You don't want to sit there and go on and on and on and just bore the jury, because they'll tune out. It will turn out. I mean,
especially one that seems to be anxious to get it over with.
Exactly. The jurors, they're ready to go. They want to talk to each other and deliberate. You don't want to go on and on. So I would like to think that they would do the charge conference over lunch, you know, get them off the special jury instructions that I talked about, go to closing maybe at 2 o'clock, end at 5 or 6, and then they would start their deliberations when she actually charges them at 8:30 tomorrow. That'll take about 30 minutes, going to deliberations Thursday morning. And I would suspect you're going to see some type of, you know, maybe a verdict maybe Friday. I think they would spend all day Thursday, I would think. But, you know, you don't know.
Okay.
You know, I don't think it's going to be quick by any means.
You've been picking it so far, Jeff.
All right. You've been right all the way. Okay, Jeff Dowdy, thank you so very much. Once again,
guys.
We'll talk to you tomorrow night. That's Jeff Dowdy, folks, a prominent criminal defense attorney here in Central Florida. He knows what he's talking about when it comes to criminal trials. And speaking of people who know what they're talking about, we're going to come back with Laura Janae, and she knows what she's talking about, and I think you're going to want to hear it. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
For 16 years, Cafe Positano has been famous for blending their traditional Italian family recipes with the latest cuisines. They offer affordable fine dining in the banquet room and more casual dining in the main area. From pizza to specialty dishes and tender, juicy prime rib, everything is made fresh daily, even our sauces. And owner Pasquale Barba promises you'll want to return. Located 4 miles west on I-4 on 436, phone 407-774-8080.
Cafe Positano is true Italian food, e lo prometto.
The battle is heating up. You're listening to The American Adversaries on 660 WORL. If you can take it.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the show. I am Christopher Hart, and along with Lair Adams, we are live in the studio with you this afternoon. 660 WORL is the station. The American Adversaries Drive Time is the show. 407-778-2255 is the number, and Laura Janae is the guest. And once again, I'd like to welcome Laura Janae to the show. Laura, thanks again for coming in.
Chris and Lair, thank you both very much for having me tonight.
Well, we appreciate you coming all the way down to the studio here. Now, Laura Janae has been on the radio before and has a possibility to be back in the media again soon. I'll let her tell you where if she decides. But she has a show. It is called Decoding Women Show. And Decoding Women is uncovering the secrets, solving the mystery about what women want and need from men. Now, this is, we're not talking Ruth Westheimer stuff here, right, folks?
Not talking Dr. Ruth.
No.
Sorry, Lair.
Sorry, Nostradamus. But this is serious, folks. We're talking about, you know, relationships, interpersonal relationships between men and women. And I would more compare Laura to a Dear Abby or
advice type of person.
Yeah, for men.
For men,
and
yes.
Not exclusively, though, for women, too. You've had women calling in on your show and stuff, right?
Women call on my show. Women also have a lot of input on my Facebook page as well. They like to give their thoughts, and they're following me, you know, just as much as the men are.
And what is your Facebook page while we're on that subject?
My Facebook page is Decoding Women Show, or facebook.com/Decoding Women Show. And
okay, so
a large following. So
on Facebook,
exciting.
It's Decoding Women Show.
Yes, it is.
And nothing different about the spelling. It's just Decoding Women Show.
That's it.
Well, Laura, let me ask you your background. Obviously, you're a woman.
Yes.
But is it mostly what your background is and your experiences that gives you the advice that you're giving out, or do you also have any type of training?
No, I have no psychology training. I'm not a psychiatrist in any way.
No attention to that.
I am just a woman. I've been married for 23 years. I've been divorced for 5. And it was after my divorce, and the way men were approaching me, I was just offended many times. And I thought, wow, men need to be educated. And I actually, I felt like men were like a shell, and there was no feeling inside of them. Or like maybe they were aliens. And so I started this taking on, confronting my own issues. And then what happened is men started writing to me and asking me all these questions and really opening up to me. And I really got to see what men are. And they're very sensitive, and they're very caring and compassionate. And I don't think they have anyone to really talk to. And that's what my page has opened up, this opportunity for them to speak to a woman. They wouldn't, if they met me at a bar or out somewhere in public, they just wouldn't walk up to me and ask me the questions they asked me. Mm-hmm. But on my page, it's given them the opportunity to do that. And so I'm learning so much about them and able to give them so much information, and the other women are joining in too. So it's great.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, I don't think we have enough of this sort of information out there. I had a couple of buddies. One of them, unfortunately, is deceased now. But they wrote a book, and what they did was they went around, and they mostly went into bars, okay, and they would sit and observe the mating activities, if you will. And then they would sometimes go up, and they would talk, mostly to the women. Uh-huh. And found out, and I want to verify with you as we go through tonight, some interesting things. And one of them is that women, the main thing they're looking at when they are looking for a mate, if you will, is someone who's genuine. In other words, someone who's not putting on airs, as they used to say in the South. You know, somebody who's not acting like somebody that they're not. And you, that's not what you get when you go to most bars. And it's actually not what you get when you have most men and women in that interpersonal relationship. In other words, neither one of them is comfortable with being themselves, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Right. And you know what's really interesting, because a man just... Several men on my page have commented about this, and in person, because now men do walk up to me and they do ask me questions now because they know what I'm doing. But they say, you know, the nice guys never win. We should be the women want bad boys. And my response is, if you're a nice guy or a bad boy, either way, you're not being yourself. And that's not attractive. Be genuine. Be yourself.
And that may only work up to a certain age group. And, you know, speaking of which, you know, for middle-aged men like me, frankly, we hate to date. I mean, it's such a pain, you know, you kind of want to find somebody that's just like you, and boom, it works out, just like I think a lot of women feel about men, too. But basically, it's a pain.
As a matter of fact, you were telling me as we were going over, you know, some details before the show, that you had a fella who wrote you and said that he sees dating as like being work or something to that effect.
Yes, he did. He said going on a date is just like going to work. And the only difference is when you go to work, you get paid. And when you go on a date, you have to pay. For the man, anyway.
I hope you weren't going to make a rhyme out of that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, I was like, what do you mean? Because it's like going for an interview. You sit there and you have this interview with this person, and then you have to pay for the interview when you're done. And it's like, I guess I don't like that. So, yeah, he views it as work, and he goes, that's why he doesn't date very much.
Okay, we're coming up on a break. This is a hard break, so we're going to have to take it, folks. Once again, we invite you to call in and talk to Laura Janae today. And men and women, I'm sure you've got good questions out there, and we'd love to hear them. 407-774-8255 is the number. Decoding Women Show. On Facebook,
yes,
is where you can, if you'd rather not do it on the air, you can do it more anonymously, if you will, or quietly, yeah, on Facebook.
Yeah, you can like my page.
Absolutely. And Janae, it's not just for single men. This is for married men, too.
So, there's a lot of married men, and they give advice to the other men, too.
That's right. So, married guys, give us a call in, 407-774-8255 for that advice that may help you. And we always help you with the best advice, American Adversaries.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries on 660 WORL.
Welcome back. That's right, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time on News Talk 660 WORL. And it is summertime. It is vacation time. Of course, any time of the year can be vacation time. And it's always a good time to be planning that next vacation. And the best place to do that is Vacation Travel Planners. I hope you heard the spot during the show. Mary Lee's got a new spot. There are new specials out there, cruise specials. But she can help you out with any kind of vacation travel planning that you would like, hotel planning, you know, travel accommodations, you name it. Vacation Travel Planners, you can reach at 321-251-4777. 7. So call Mayor Lee at 321-251-4777. Okay, we're talking now with Laura Janae, and Laura has a Facebook page she'd like you to visit. It's called Decoding Women Show, and you can find that at Facebook. And she's had a radio show in the past and looks to have another one here in the future. Who knows? But in the meantime, she's on our show, and we want to thank her for being here with us. And we have a caller, Bill, on the line. I want to get to him real quick. But first, you know, at the top of the show, we play this Gloria Estefan song. It actually is one of Larry's favorites. He picked it out, and I love it. I think it's so appropriate. You know, the bad, bad boys were bad. What is it that good girls seem to like bad boys? Is there any truth to that? I mean, what's the lure of the bad boy?
You know, it's the same thing for a man. You want a woman who intrigues you, right? You don't want a pushover. You want somebody who's interesting. So I think for men, they think if they're their definition of nice guy is someone who just is a total pushover. Women don't want that. We want a genuine man, and we want someone who's interesting, intriguing, someone we admire. And so that's what
the bad boy is
intrigued and mystery.
Has that persona about it. I see. Okay. Well, I'd never thought of it that way.
Isn't it also mostly younger women that like the bad boy thing? I mean, after a few years, you kind of get over
that. I don't know. You go over to the Daytona during Bike Fest.
Oh, the Cougars.
There you go.
The Cougars. Yeah.
It seems to transcend age. Answer his question.
Oh, no, I think all ages want intrigue. Yes. It's all about your definition. And what I've recommended on my page is when a man is talking, when you meet a woman and you start talking to her, you know, and she says she wants a nice guy, well, ask her, what is a nice guy to you? Because a nice guy to me is totally different than a nice guy to another woman. So it's all about the definition. And I think that it's so simple, is the definition. And so, what is a bad boy? What's a bad boy to me? Is someone who's intriguing. A bad boy to someone else might be a hard rocker kind of guy. So
sure.
Just definition.
Oh, okay. Don't I love a woman with brass knuckles? Yeah.
All right, let's go now to Bill. And once again, folks, you can call as well. 407-774-8255 is the number. Bill, you have a question for Laura. Thank you for calling.
Yes. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Thank you.
All right. Great. Thank you for taking my call. Usually I get my news and business information on this station, but this is so much more fun.
Thank you, Bill.
It's a topic that all of us guys are always thinking about, and I was listening. And, Laura, I was just wondering, it seems like the most painful thing when you go in and you're in a bar and you see women, and maybe there's one that you want to talk to, and you see other guys go up and they'll say some kind of stupid line, and you know, that's even painful for guys when they hear stupid lines from guys. But would you have any suggestions, like if a man saw a woman that he wanted to go up and talk to, is there a good way to open a conversation with a woman?
Excellent question.
Yes, Bill. If I were in a bar or somewhere, and I would want a man to come up and, first of all, be genuine. I don't like lines. And also, just something that would make me laugh. I really like a sense of humor, and most women do. If you can catch my attention and make me laugh, I'm going to be engaged, and I want to know a little bit more about you. So the whole thing is just be yourself and come up with something simple. Even like if you're there, you don't even know what to say to me. Maybe just walk up to me and say, you know, hi, I'm Bill, and I don't even know what to say to you. I just want to say hi. That would make me laugh, and it's so simple and genuine.
Okay.
And I would respond.
It isn't bad, I must admit.
Yeah. Okay. Any follow-up there, Bill?
Yeah, I was just wondering, too, and what I see a lot of times is, you know, when you do go up and you do start a conversation, how do you get out of a conversation? Because sometimes you can tell that the person's interested and then you don't need any help, but sometimes she might be with another woman and they're like, you know, you can tell it's kind of like, can you move on or whatever. Is there anything a guy can do to kind of save face?
Another excellent question. I love this.
Wait, I need to
I've been in that predicament many a time, Bill.
I need a little clarification. So I'm there and I'm with a girl, and you want to remove yourself from the situation?
She's not interested. You're not interested.
I'm not interested
in the guy.
In you.
Yeah, I just came up and said hello, and maybe
he wants to walk away with his dignity.
He still wants
to have his dignity as he's walking away. What can he say and do?
Anything.
You know, just say, so simple, again, just say, hey, it was great talking to you, it was nice meeting you, and walk away. I actually met a guy over the weekend, and I was really impressed with this. He came up and he bought me a drink. We talked for a little while, and I was kind of hoping he would leave. And he just did that. He was just like, you know, hey, it was great talking to you. I'm going to let you hang out with your friends, and hope to see you soon.
Yeah.
And it was very simple, and I appreciated the way he left.
All right, we appreciate the question, Bill, and thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
Well, it sounds like a big thing is don't come off as any kind of a threat or anything that you do. Any time you spend with me, oh, now you're mine, baby. That, you know.
Totally. And men do that. They come
jump for that commitment.
Especially if they buy you a drink, they feel like, oh, you're mine for the night. It's like, no. So I don't like that. Or even, it's not even mine for the night, but mine like for this whole evening that in this wherever we're at, you have to stick by my side.
Right.
And I think that's when the man has a hard time leaving because then he's if you just come up genuinely, you can walk away genuinely just as easily.
All right. You mentioned humor and how humor, you find humor.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that I know there probably aren't any general rules you can say about that attract any woman. But I think humor would be right up at the top of the list if there were, you know, high rankings, if you will.
Right. And I'm a very difficult one if you meet me out because I like someone who's very creative and interesting. So I ask questions and one man told me, he goes, you're so inconsistent. I was like, but I'm inconsistently consistent. I'm consistently inconsistent. I ask all kinds of questions because I want to see how the man's going to respond. And I really like when a man can stump me, when he can ask me a question that I can't come up with an answer to. I'm like, that actually attracts me. So that's why I'm really into humor, but a lot of women are. Well, they like to laugh.
Okay. Once again, folks, we're talking with Laura Janae. You can visit her on Facebook at Decoding Women Show. That's Decoding Women Show, spelled like it sounds. Or you can call right now and ask Laura a question, just like Bill did. 407-774-8255 is the number. And real quickly, folks, don't forget tomorrow is Wednesday. That means we've got another family four-packet of tickets to a Rays home game and an autographed baseball to give away. So don't forget to tune in and tell your friends, if they're Rays fans or baseball fans in general, to check us out
tomorrow
and win a four-pack of tickets. Okay, speaking of attractive people, let's go to our very own executive producer, Noster Dennis. Why is everybody here laughing when I say that? Noster Dennis, are you out there at headquarters?
He is not a member of the Hair Club for Men. He's a donor.
Face for radio, folks. Noster Dennis.
We all do down here, that's for sure. Dennis, I know you've been listening. Your questions, please.
Yeah, Laura, I heard a quote this morning from Mark Twain in Thought of You. A man is attracted to a woman and hopes she will never change. A woman is attracted to a man and hopes he will change. Both are inevitably disappointed.
Oops.
You find that true?
Present company excluded.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
You know, I've had a man ask me that before, too. It's like, why, when you meet a woman, you fall in love, why does she want to change you? And my thought is that you don't want to be with someone who wants to change you. However, what if the woman actually just sees more in you than what you saw in yourself? Maybe she sees so much more possibility that you're not living into. And so it's different. You want a woman who's going to inspire you, just like I would want a man who would inspire me if he saw that I have so much more capability, if he can inspire me in a nurturing way.
And not be jealous.
Yeah, not be jealous and actually supporting me. Yeah, and I think so if she's changing you in that way, yes. But if she's trying to change you into someone who you're not, those are just communication things that you need to find out right up front when you first start meeting and move on.
So there's a difference between, and don't get caught up in one being the other, a difference between changing somebody, in other words, manipulating them, if you will, and helping them grow, say, spiritually or whatever.
Or even spiritually in your business sense, you know, if someone sees
in any sense.
Yeah, if you want to inspire them. And so I would want someone who inspires me. If they see the greatness in me that I don't see in myself, inspire them.
Well, one thing you'd said before was being genuine. Now, one of the problems I think everyone has, and when someone's dating, it's a different person that you end up with later on down the road when you really know someone. I think we all have that front we put out there. And how do people kind of get over that or see through that or at least try to get the closest?
Or just not even put it out there to begin
with.
That's the right thing. And that's what I recommend. Don't put it like, don't try to be a nice guy or a bad boy or for girls. Just be who you are because the real self is going to show up later and they're falling in love with the fake image. So be yourself from the beginning so that you attract someone who likes that person.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So yes, again, be genuine.
All right, let's go to Brad now. Brad, thank you for calling and your question for Laura.
Hi, Laura. I appreciate you guys taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hi, Brad.
For the men that are married, I can't say I speak for all men, but over time, you know, relationships obviously won't have the same amount of excitement that they had. And even when you add kids into the equation and just the things that life throws at you, it's very hard to keep that excitement going, whereas you're talking about men who want to meet new women. Now, I'm not suggesting that I want to do that, but I want to find ways to find that excitement that you do find when you're in a new relationship in the marriage that I have. And that's really the best path forward. It's just so much harder. It's so much easier said than done. Is there any way to address that or to fix that?
No, I really, really appreciate that question, because for me, I think it's what a lot of people do when the marriage gets dull or boring. It's just so much easier to step out and find some excitement somewhere else. And that's just short-lived, and the whole thing explodes. And so I really, really value what you're asking, and I appreciate you even asking that question. And I think, I know, I don't want to say this sexist or anything, but I know it seems to me like a lot of men, they get bored sexually in their marriage, and they want to step out for excitement. And a lot of, and instead of stepping out, they don't realize that the woman is just as bored. And so I think it's important, again, for communication. And when you are bored in your marriage or your relationship, to ask the other person, are you bored too? Or what? And probably if you said, are you bored, that would just put a bad thing in the space. But just talk to your wife and say, what can we do to stimulate our marriage?
Would it help to do something like take a trip to somewhere you've never been before, or do something you've never done before, or something to that effect? Would that physical action help spark it, or is it something deeper than that?
You know, what is the one song where it's like, I didn't know you like piña coladas, you know,
and they end up meeting
each other. Yeah, and they end up meeting each other, and they realize, I didn't know that you liked all those things. So again, it just goes back to communication. Find out what is missing in your wife's, from her perspective of the marriage, and what would you like more of, and tell her, I would like more of this, and find out she would like more of.
But approach it as though you're exploring something new, right?
Definitely.
Something new and fun, not as though, you know, you're going for counseling or something like that, right?
Right, and don't go, there's something wrong in our marriage, because then you're making her feel wrong and making her feel bad. But if you're like, hey, you know what, I love you, and I really want our marriage to last a long time, and let's start adding some spice to it. And
that help you, Brad?
It does. I appreciate it. I think stepping out of your comfort zone or going on a trip, I've always noticed that when we do go on a trip, it really is exciting because we're out of our daily element. But
all right, well, here's what you need to do. Call 321-251-4777 and talk to Mara Lee about a trip, and she'll fix you up wherever you want to go, whatever
Man,
you want to do, and she'll find you the best price. Brad, thank you so very much.
But Brad, isn't it nice to get a woman's perspective on it?
Oh, yeah. Guys always tell you, you know, go hook up with that you met at the bar. You know what they'll say.
Yeah.
Well, and Brad, I also like what you said, like Chris said, to step out of your comfort zone. Go on a trip that you normally neither one would go on. You know, pick something unusual that where you're both out of your comfort zone, and you might explore new things about yourself that you neither one knew.
And remember, it's never worth the guilt.
And if nothing else, you'll have some laughs, and you'll say, "Whoa, we'll never do that again." Thank you, Brad. Thanks so very much for the call this afternoon. All right. And he has a lucky wife that he has, you know, those concerns.
I am so impressed with him. Brad, I'm just thrilled with you. I hope more men will be like that.
Okay,
I
folks.
I really want to impress their...
We're not done yet. We're going to go to the break. 407-774-8255 is the number. Lair Adams, Christopher Hart, Laura Janae will be right back with you, along with our executive producer, Nostra Dennis.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I took on the Iron Sheik from Iran. I took on Nikolai Volkov from the USSR. I took on Andre the Giant from France. I just want you to know, time for more political mayhem with the American adversaries. Tough guy, how about a ho?
Absolutely, folks. It is the fourth round of our match tonight. The best in political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries. Larry Adams here with Christopher Hart. And tonight we have our special ladies wrestling champion with us. That would be Laura Janae. And she is a woman that has a great website, decodingwomenshow.com. It's for guys to call in and ask questions, but also for women to married or whatever.
Yeah, to email.
Or email, I'm sorry.
Go
to Facebook at Decoding Women Show as well. Laura, I've got a couple of questions. I know Lara has another question or two, as well as does Nostra Dennis. And folks, you can call in. 407-774-8255 is the number. We talked about what is attractive to women, humor and being, you know, genuine. What do women value most in men? Mm-hmm. Have you ever gotten that question before?
I have not got that question.
In other words, the cynic in us says women just, you know, want men for the security, they want a nice house and all this. Is that what women really value, or is there something else that women would value more that would be of help to us?
You know, sadly, I would have to say a lot of women do value money. Mm-hmm. And it's really sad, but yes, they do. They want to feel secure, and they do like that. But yet, there are a lot of women who are financially stable on their own. And for those women, they want someone who can understand them and communicate with them. I think it's very important. And for me, that's the biggest separation in the two sexes, is that I think men were brought up not to show their feelings, to be this tough boy. Right. And women, we discuss our feelings openly, and we really, I think, wish that we could have a man that we could discuss things with, and that he would feel free to show his vulnerabilities. He doesn't have to show them to the world, but at least to the woman. And today, it was actually one of my comments on my Facebook page, and a gentleman did write in and he stated that. He goes, a lot of men do want to express themselves, but they need the woman to nurture them and to bring that up, to bring that out of them. Their comfort zone isn't right there.
Sort of helped him be a little bit more comfortable.
Joe had a great idea. He said honesty, as far as one of the things he thinks a woman looks for in a man.
Well, yeah, yes, honesty. What I want, just as a man who doesn't want to just sleep with every girl he sees, because, today it's just so prevalent, and it's so... That's what probably most women would value the most. Really would be faithful.
Look at Hollywood. That's what's, you know, being projected
you're not a real man. You're not a real man unless you're with a different woman every night. Yeah.
And I think men egg other men on, and they stimulate, encourage them. Even if you don't want to, you're like, well, I'm not fitting in if I don't. And I know it's really sad that it's like that. And women are becoming the same way. And like for me, when I go out and I see a guy who's just with every girl, I'm like, I think of germs. I think of all kinds of things going on. Like,
absolutely.
Not attracted to it.
Okay, let's go to Nostra Dennis. Time for one more question from you, sir.
Yeah, sure, Laura. Do you find that more men, more women, or both genders equally have a tendency to set the bar too high when they're first looking for a potential mate? And I say this because I see it on both sides. Like the running gag in Seinfeld, where he'll be dating a girl and then they'll say, oh, she cracks her knuckles. Oh, I can't be with a woman who cracks her knuckles.
Wow, I think you're talking about me.
I'm walking out of here now. I can't be in the same studio.
Oh, my gosh. So a guy can do one little thing, and I'm like, okay, next. I am bad about that. And it's not that I'm setting my bars too high. Yep, I am very picky. You know, I've been divorced. So for me to get married again... Yeah, I know that I have a certain list of qualities that I want in a man. And when I meet that man who fits all those, then I'll be in love and he probably won't like me.
Well, you know, that brings to mind my last question for you. And that is that how does a man know what he wants in a woman?
Well, I don't know. Why men need to define that?
Well,
do they take the time to think about it?
Probably not.
And we're going to go to one of our callers now. But one thing, too, you have to keep in mind here is there is a time limit when it comes to dating and relationships, et cetera, as you get older. So that's on people's minds, too.
Is there?
I mean, when you start losing your package and your attractiveness and things like that, and the whole mix begins to deplete you.
Let's go to Todd. Let's go to Todd. Todd, thank you for calling this afternoon. We appreciate it. And please go ahead. Todd?
Yes. Hey, Laura, how are you?
Doing great.
I'm doing good, Todd. How are you?
Go ahead, Todd, please.
Fantastic.
I know. This is my Todd from Evansville, Indiana.
That's exactly who this is.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fantastic. You guys were talking about, you know, what women value the most. And, you know, it's my opinion that, you know, everyone always says that love is the greatest thing you can give, but it's not. It's trust. Women want trust and communication, and if we men will work toward that, our lives will be so much easier, and the relationship will just grow continually.
I agree with you, Todd. And, Todd, how do you show trust to your wife?
Oh, I mean, have you ever heard of the five love languages?
Yes, I have.
My wife's love language is words of affirmation and just notes and things like that. So on a regular basis, I just tell her, you know, how much I love her. I leave her notes. I stop by and do, you know, nice little things, bring her flowers for no good reason, just various things. And I can get up and go to the bathroom and leave my phone, and my phone is an open book to her, whereas when people date these days, their phone is a landmine.
Right.
If you always date a guy that's always grabbing their phone and taking it with them every time they go to the bathroom, it's a red flag.
That's a signal, huh?
You know, something...
Thanks, Todd. I appreciate it. I'm going to have to let you go because we were all just...
Hey, the real question is, do you leave the toilet seat up? That's the thing.
Thanks, Todd.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And we're just about out of time, folks. He mentioned the love languages, and I've heard a little bit about that. Do you talk about that on your Facebook page?
I have talked about those. Yes, I have.
Okay, and your Facebook page again?
It's facebook.com/DecodingWomenShow.
Decoding Women Show on Facebook. Folks, you're going to definitely want to check it out. Laura Janae, thank you very much for being with us this afternoon. I know I come away a little bit wiser. I can't speak for Larry. Joe Ferrero has been in the studio with us. He's promotions director here at the station. And you sort of like Todd. You said honesty.
Yeah.
He said trust. Very much the same thing. Once again, please, if you have questions, feel free to contact Laura at her Facebook site, Decoding Women Show. And she'll answer your questions. And
you can message me or email me, or go to my website, and I will respond. And what I'll do is I'll take your topic and I'll put it out on the page. I won't put your name with it. And then I'll get responses from other people as well. So you get a lot of different feedback.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Okay, once again, folks, want to thank you for being with us this afternoon. And these bad boys have got to move on down the road because it is 6 o'clock. So stick around. Gary Coltbaum will be coming up next. And the Rays are playing later on tonight. And don't forget, if you don't want to listen to baseball, go up to 1520 and listen to the Don Miller Show. He's doing some really good shows up there from 7 to 9 Monday through Thursday night, and he's live too. So once again, Laura, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much, Larry and Chris. I really appreciated it.
Okay.
Great job too.
Absolutely. We're going to have you back because I know there's a lot more still of the mystery yet to be solved. Okay, folks, once again, thanks.
I tell you what, folks, don't feel bad. Don't feel sad because we will be back tomorrow night at
with
5
Abe
o'clock.
Katzman, right?
Abe Katzman, and they can win 4 tickets to the Rays game, Chris.
That's all right. Hey, Nostradamus, thanks for being with us.
That's right. Folks, we are the American Adversaries. We'll be back tomorrow. See you then.
Night, everybody.